Inside Wirtschaft, der Podcast mit Manuel Koch.
The US is on track for a faster economic recovery than Europe. According to the International Monetary Fund, the US will return to its pre-pandemic growth rate this year. This is the ID Trading Talk, and I'm Manuel Koch. And joining me now are Salah Idina Mumidi, he's the head of markets at IG, and the legendary Einstein of Wall Street, Peter Tuckman, over 35 years on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. Guys, so good to see you.
Guten Abend, ladies and gentlemen. How are you?
We are fine. Thank you. Thank you. What about you guys?
Good, nice good, good. Peter, I think you guys are doing a fantastic job. When it comes to vaccination, there's a lot of money on the table, stimulus packages. The growth rate is expected to being at 6.4% for this year. Are you already like went all the way through the tunnel? Is there a bright future, or are you maybe a little bit afraid of inflation and other things that could disturb this recovery?
Thank you for the question. Really, actually, a good question. You know, as we sit here today, where records are trading at record, markets are trading at record highs, we always are given pause to try and figure out why we are here and where we are going in the future, right? I don't think there has been a playbook for this year, and I don't, the 2020 I'm talking about, and I surely don't think there's a playbook for 2021, right? We are still in the midst of a pandemic. You guys are, I think, in a little bit of a quandary over there in Europe more than here. And the reopening story is still very questionable globally in so many different ways, right? We are definitely on track to a better vaccine progression than they are in Europe. Yet we are seeing the variants now. The primary variant in the U.S. is the 1177 or whatever the number is that came from the U.K. And we're seeing spikes in a lot of Midwestern cities, as well as New York, New Jersey, and Florida, which could be throwing a little bit of a wrench in the soup. We are also seeing a spike in infections amongst the 20 to 30-year-olds. So while there are still so many unknowns, and we know those will have bearing on the economic recovery, the market yet once again is trading at record highs. So why is that the case, right? We've got a new administration. We have a stimulus package. We've got a big toolbox by the Federal Reserve that they say they're going to keep nimble and flexible in to use what they need to keep the recovery going. Is inflation a question? Yes. Is the yield a could be problematic? Yes. But it really kind of feels like nothing's going to put a dent in this thing. I am given pause, though. When markets are here, before we started the show, I asked Salah what the short interest was on the S&P 500, because when markets hit these high levels and sustain them for a little while, you and I, we spoke, the three of us, a few weeks ago. We talked about the rotation, and I think the three of us were one of the first to identify what was happening while NASDAQ was coming in and the Dow was going up, that this was a identifying it as a bit of a rotation. And I think a lot of the smarter people than us said that coming after we discussed it. But I don't think that's where we are right now. I think we are, I think the investment community is definitely looking to the future. I think they are cherry picking stocks that they see going forward will participate better in the recovery and the reopening story. I think it's important to note, and we've spoken about it for the last year, that there are stocks that participated in an incredible rally within the pandemic space as they made our lives a lot easier, whether it was e-commerce, whether it was Zoom and video chatting, whether it was the stay-at-home exercise thing or the stay-at-home housewares story. We've talked about it many times. They benefited to the best of their ability by reinventing themselves within the pandemic space. Excuse me. But where does that leave us with the hospitality story, with the cruise line story, with the gaming industry, which has benefited partly by online gaming, but not as much by in-person casino story and travel and whatnot? So are people starting to cherry pick these sectors looking to the future, because at the end of the day, we're hoping, whether it takes 6 months or a year, I can't really predict when people are going to feel comfortable to really get outside and go and travel and whatnot. We are seeing a huge spike in travel. We saw it over the Easter holiday here in the U.S., 1.5 million people getting on planes every day throughout that time. But there are still unknowns. There is still anxiety. The reality, I got my second vaccine last night, two nights ago, and I have to admit I did get quite ill last night. I did spike up in temperature to 101.5. I feel a lot better today. I'm hoping some of my long COVID issues are abated by the second vaccine, which is the hope. But there's still so many unknowns. I think I know I'm rambling a little bit, but I want to sort of highlight what the next number of weeks are going to be highlighted by, which is earnings season, right? We saw in 2020, there were a couple of earnings seasons where the CEOs were not able to give guidance at all. The unknowns were exorbitant. They were not even able to give some real semblance of what the earnings looked like from a revenue and earnings standpoint. This is going to be a serious story in the next number of weeks as we see first quarter 2021 earnings season start up. And where is the story going to be? How honest and transparent are these CEOs going to be? And how much guidance can they give us of what the world's going to look like on a reopen coming forward?
Peter, last year we already talked about guidance, fundamental stuff, which was not clearly what will happen in the upcoming year because uncertainty was too big and too great. And now I think companies still are struggling with guidance for the next upcoming months and actually years. And that's why I don't care on fundamentals, to be honest, in that period. I'm looking on technical analysis, seasonal patterns that are really coming back. Actually, seasonality is coming back in the last 2 years, 2020 and 21. And the mid events, 2 weeks ago, people asked me, the S&P 500 should now have already reached his top. And I pointed out with the Bumidi bands that 4,100 points in the S&P 500 is the first upper resistance for me. And we already reached last week 4,100 points. By saying the upwards trend is still not finished. April is one of the best months. I think what you already said, and this is actually my question, if the earnings season is coming, May is coming, summer, which has a lower volume on the market, maybe volatility can again pick up and give us a small correction. This is what my gameplay for the next 2 months actually is. What do you think about it?
So, I mean, to address that point, I'm wondering, I always appreciate your look on seasonal patterns. And I think that we saw, amazingly enough, that even within the pandemic space, the seasonal patterns did still bear out, right? Not that many other things bore out. You know, we've got all those things. We've got January. Sorry about that. Last year we saw what sell in May and go away, and the Christmas season and the spike in September leading into a rally of October, November, how December played out. They followed seasonal patterns, irrespective of a global pandemic. It was quite something. And I look at historical patterns, and while they were thrown a little bit in flux in some ways, the seasonal patterns seemed to work. So what is the next few months going to bear out? We're at a time now, the three of us here in the beginning of April, where I appreciate your point about 4,100. It didn't reach 4,100 in a fast and furious fashion. If you look at it as a spike, we've marched our way with strength and determination to 4,100. It's, you know what I'm saying? So as we've seen in the past, the sell-off in March 2020 was fast and furious, right? It was an oversold situation on March 23rd, 2020. Whether the stimulus package came in or not, it was definitely a buying opportunity. So when people look at these record highs, when they reach them in a fast and furious overbought environment, then we normally would see technical analysis play a role in deciding whether we are hitting resistance or how it's going to be. As we know, if we address technical analysis, we get to resistance and then we watch it. Either it hits the resistance twice and starts to fade, consolidates, comes in, or if we hit that resistance and then suddenly we break through that resistance on the third time and that resistance becomes a base for a higher move, we see a further rally. So once again, the investment community, while it looks long-term to the future for long-term investing, they have one posture. But you and I and Manuel often talk about technical analysis, which is the best defense against volatile markets, which I still believe we are in. Yes, we don't have the volatility we saw in September, December, January, February, but we are seeing intraday volatility, though it's a bit smaller, it's shrunken down in its percentage, but we're still seeing 0.5% moves on a daily basis. So technical analysis, once again, for traders and even short-term investors, I believe is important. We've seen stocks so overstretched in so many ways that, you know, you and I always beg people to ring the cash register, that there will be more opportunities to buy things cheaper once again. It's trading in very sector-like, right, in its ways. We've seen one day the reopening story is the flavor of the moment. Next, the shelter-in-place story becomes the story of the day as this vaccine volatility virus story unfolds. So once again, I, as you, revert to technical analysis as the best earmark of what to look for the future.
Peter, U.S. President Biden is calling for a global tax. A rate of 21% is proposed to stop giant companies like Apple, Amazon, taking advantage of lower taxes in other parts of the world. Do you think this is a realistic project?
You know what? I think it's kind of fascinating. Look, we have in the U.S., the narrative of the Democrats versus the Republicans. Mr. Trump came in and knocked the corporate tax down from 38 to 21, I believe, or 34 to 21. That was very much what he ran on. And obviously, the rich got richer and the corporate world was very happy with a lower rate. Now, and then we've got the Democratic story. One of the fears that people felt that could dislocate any sort of positive reaffirmation of Mr. Biden's presidency, while he does an incredible vaccine rollout and that he does a lot of shakeup of the environment that Mr. Trump had set the stage for, was a raise in the corporate rate to finance the $3 trillion stimulus and the $2 trillion infrastructure story. You know, our fear, and I think that there's a part of me that thinks, what a great idea. You know, I mean, for every administration to change the corporate rate in such a way that companies are leaving one continent and coming to another and shutting down and losing jobs, I'm a firm believer in continuity. I'm a firm believer in empowering all of our economies. And I think in the best way possible, if we were to have a global tax rate, I'm not clear it's realistic. I'm not an economist. And I'm not sure everybody would hop on board with it, right? Because often economies around the globe benefit from lowering their rates to bring new business in. But speaking from an American point of view and trying to empower our attempt at a recovery, and my hope is a global recovery, right? Our hope is if we can establish ourselves once again as the U.S., as a strong economy that can flow over and start helping other economies throughout the world, what a great thing. Mr. Biden has said it. It's a micro look at what's going on. But when we've vaccinated all of our population, we are going to give away and or sell and or make available vaccines to countries that can't afford it. That's historically been the American way. So ideally, how exciting it would be if we had a global rate of 21%, I think we would benefit here corporately. The world may benefit from it because we would really get some kind of consistency going forward on it. I defer to Salah on this and ask him what his opinion was. But from my point of view, consistent economies, consistent job growth, some kind of guidance going forward that there's not one administration changing the way corporations do business. I don't have a problem with big companies paying a little more tax and helping to finance the growth. You know, we are here in the United States. There are wealthy people who did become wealthier during the pandemic space, and I don't begrudge them at all. They've worked to make their money, and that's all fine and good. But however, a lot of them are not paying their weight in the tax world. So if there was a little bit of equality as far as that goes, I think that would be a good thing. There are still people suffering here in the United States. I call the stimulus package that Mr. Biden just put out, the $1,200, $1,400 payment and the payment to small businesses that are still struggling, I would call it disaster relief, not stimulus. There are people who have been out of work for a year. There are restaurants who are never going to open again. I drive down the streets of New York City, and there's literally nothing on the street except a small bodega and a Duane Reade. There's no small business growth here at all. So, you know what? I think we really need to address the fact that Amazon's doing great and Square is doing great and Apple's doing great and all that. But there are millions of people struggling, not only here, for sure in your country as well, throughout Europe, throughout the Middle East, the Far East, Africa, South America, where the virus is still decimating them, that really could use some global economic support to recover from this pandemic, because this is major stuff.
This is a good point, because I have a just behavioral question. I know people who are short in the market, in the S&P 500 since 3,600. They don't realize their positions. They say exactly in this kind of gameplay, they say, guy, the reality is not picking up what is happening on the market. There will be a hard correction. So I will not close my position. I would put more money into my deposit. I would deposit more money and I would not close this position. I'm discussing with those people. I know that if you're stogging in one story, this could be really dangerous. Now I want to come back to you with your experience. What would you say to a person who would, in this period, would say, guy, I will not close my shorts because there will be a huge correction and I will give everything for that. I will not close.
I love that question because I always love to watch markets when they hit record highs or when they go higher. Nobody could have predicted that on March 2020, on the 23rd, that even with the incredible short-term, high-powered stimulus package that was instituted, okay, to try and counter the power of the global pandemic, would have brought the market to here. But I'm done fighting that story. You and I have been on this for a couple of years now, surely for the last year, where I've often said, you know what? How is it that the market keeps going up? Let's be clear here, man. On March 23rd till August 10th, we saw a back to even progress of the S&P 500. And since August, we've seen a double digit growth from them in the eyes of a complete global shutdown. Is that possible? How is that possible? You know what? I don't know how it's possible, but it happened. And I always joke and say, market's doing what it wants to do. And the bottom line is, what battle do I want to fight here? Am I going to stand ground at the front lines of this fight and go, I'm going to stand firm, right? And this has got to, at some point, the market is going to catch up with the economy. Well, my fear is that by that time that happens, the economy is going to reopen and that story is not going to work. So I would, you know, look, I trade for a gentleman here in the United States who is a, you know, there are people who are inveterate bears. They're always playing the short side, right? They're always counting on that crack of the market for some reason, whether it's geopolitical, geoeconomic, domestically political, domestically economic, some kind of a disaster on a sector of the market. They're always looking for that short. That's just their nature. They're bears. And then they're bulls, right? Right? And the bottom line is, and then they're pigs, and pigs get slaughtered. Pigs are people who hold a position irrespective of what the market's telling me. That if a stock goes from 30 to 180 and I don't sell it, I'm just a pig because it may go back to 20. And if I'm short the market at 3,600 and the market keeps marching on to record highs, even though your narrative, the reason you were short, makes perfect sense, yet the market continues to go higher, that's not a position or a battle that I would like to fight. I would err on the side of, we will get an inkling, right? When the correction happens, I believe there will be time when we really start to see it. The market is what we call very frothy at the moment. Yes, we kind of think it may go higher, but it's still, it's like the top on a beautiful cappuccino. At some point that you can steam it all the way up, but at some point it's going to flow over. That's one of the sides of the narrative. But my feeling is we're not frothy at 2,000, at 3,000 in the S&P. We're frothy at 4,100. So that, and I'm still not against the idea that we may see a huge correction when suddenly the market opens its eyes and goes, dude, there are 60% of businesses are never going to reopen again. People, how can any of these business models be profitable when you can only fill the plane 25 or 50%? The minute you open, you're going to close. If you have a restaurant, you need 80% capacity sustainable to be a profitable business model. Well, that's not going to happen for years, right? Just because of the nature of the pandemic. So, yes, there's a part of me that thinks, yeah, there's going to be a huge correction. But to hold that position in the eyes of what the S&P is doing here today at 4,100, I think is painful, right? These guys are sitting there smoking cigarettes and drinking Hennessy going like, when am I going to see that correction? I'm hoping for a downturn. I would rather people cover those positions in a lot of ways. And I'm not going to tell people what to do. I am not a financial advisor, but that's a painful position. And I live with it every day because the gentleman I trade with is an inveterate bear. And every day he's got two accounts where one of them is always short and one he's trading the market on a daily. And I know that sometimes more often than not, we do well on a daily because the market's volatile and that's a gift to us. With technical analysis, with the market on closed positions that I like to trade. Yet that long-term short position is a wound that keeps oozing and it's painful and it's bleeding and I'm not sure when it's going to end. So I believe the frothiness will give us the opportunity, will give us the signal when this is really going to break, if it does, and there'll be opportunity to short it then.
Exactly. It doesn't matter for me whether long or short, but always cut your losses short and let your profits, just let them run. Let them run. Nothing will happen. But if you do it vice versa, you can destroy your whole portfolio.
I agree.
Guys, thank you so much. It was great to listen to you, Peter. I appreciate it a lot. Salah Eddin Boumidi, the head of markets at IG, and Peter Tuckman, legendary Einstein of Wall Street. Guys, thank you so much for this week.
It's a pleasure, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much.
And thank you for watching. This was the IG Trading Talk for this week. More information on IG.com. Thank you so much and take care.